I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And so God knew exactly what you were going to look like before you were ever formed in the womb. He knew what color hair you were going to have. He knew what color eyes you were going to have. He knew if your nose was going to be a little longer than somebody else's. He knew if your ears were going to stick out a little further than somebody else's. And by the way, God doesn't make any junk, and God doesn't make any mistakes. And there's so much emphasis placed upon personal appearance nowadays. And listen, I want to tell you something. Beauty is definitely in the eyes of the beholder.
With that introduction, we welcome you back once again to Countdown to Courage, a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove, North Carolina. We're so glad that you've tuned in today. Welcome. Thank you so much for being a part of Countdown to Courage today. We've got a wonderful lineup for you today on the radio broadcast. We're going to begin in just a moment with a great song from the Webster family called All Along. We'll be featuring some of the songs off of their album and with that same title, All Along. And then we're going to get into a new message today that you're really going to enjoy. This is a message entitled Our Personal Identity in Heaven. One of the things we love about our pastor is that not only does he preach the Word of God with boldness, he also is able to teach the Word of God with clarity. And this is a wonderful lesson about our personal identity in heaven. I think you're going to find it fascinating and maybe interesting. And so we hope you enjoy the message today on Countdown to Courage. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. And we want to just say thank you. We recently heard from one of our listeners in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that's been tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're so excited about how God is using Countdown to Courage in so many different places. We recently just went on a brand new station, WEZZ in Asheville, Biltmore in Black Mountain, and we're so thankful for how God has allowed our radio ministry to expand. Recently, we're now on 11 radio stations, and then, of course, our podcast, and we're so grateful for the reach that God has given us on Countdown to Courage, and we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We want to encourage you to reach out to us and let us know that you're listening, and you can do that today by simply calling us or texting us at 336-594-2383. You could also email us at CDTC, that's the initials of Countdown to Courage, CDTC at calvarybcug.com. We'd love to hear from you by text or call or email. You can also send us a letter in the mail to P.O. Box 298. Again, that's P.O. Box 298, Union Grove, North Carolina, 28689. We'd love to hear from you and find out how God is using Countdown to Courage in your life right now. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Well, as I mentioned, this is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove, North Carolina. Our pastor is Brother Stephen Pope, and we feature his preaching and teaching on this particular broadcast. He also has a daily live stream that takes place every Tuesday through Friday on Facebook Live, and you can find that on the Calvary Baptist Church of Union Grove, North Carolina Facebook page. You can also find that on our YouTube page. These are wonderful ways for you to stay connected with what's happening at Calvary Baptist Church. You can also visit our website, calvarybcug.com, for more information. If you're in our listening area and you're not currently attending a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church, why don't you come join us for one of our upcoming services? We'd love to have you and get to know you a little bit better. Stop by and visit with us, and we hope that you'll make plans to be a part of one of our upcoming services. We have Sunday morning Sunday school groups at 9:45. We have our Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock, Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening service at 7 o'clock. That's our prayer time and Bible study, and these are all wonderful ways for you to get connected at Calvary Baptist Church. If you're standing in need of prayer today, let me encourage you to reach out to us through our prayer helpline that we've set up just for you. 704-327-5662 is that number, and we'd love to stand with you in prayer. One of our prayer helpline personal workers would love to take your call, and if you catch our voicemail, just leave a brief message, and then we'll try to return your call just as soon as we possibly can. Once again, we're so glad that you've tuned in to Countdown to Courage today. We're going to jump into this great song right now, a song by the Webster family called All Along. You're going to love this wonderful song, and then we're going to get into the message today, a fascinating message called Our Personal Identity in Heaven. Thank you so much for tuning in to Countdown to Courage, a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove, North Carolina. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Just drifts away, and as
But more than anything, I pray that it will lift up the name that is above every name, that one that we preached about this morning, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah. God, I pray that we'll lift him up tonight. And so, Lord, bless our discussion. Please, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. And everyone said, amen. A name, our personal identity in heaven. I wrote several things down. A person's name is of great importance. It really is, isn't it? You think about it like this. Really, a name, an identity is really a major component of our communication. It's how we communicate today. What do you mean, preacher? Well, we know people by their names. We know people by their names. Sometimes we'll say, that guy. Or we'll say, that woman, you know. Sometimes my wife will say, honey, you know that lady? And I'm like, nope, I don't. You know that lady that's got blonde hair, that lady that wore the red dress. I'm thinking, nope, I sure don't. I don't know who you're talking about. I need more information than that. And so we use names as a way of communicating. We know people by their names. Thought about this. We refer to people by their names. We remember people by their names. A lot of times we may honor loved ones by naming our children after a family member that we really love and appreciate. Many of you have done that. You named your child after a father, a grandfather, or a relative that was especially special in your life, and you named your child or your loved one after that. And then I thought about this, especially, maybe not so much today, but back in biblical times, a name was incredibly important because people's names meant something very, very significant. Well, with that said tonight, I want to talk to you about this subject. What's our name going to be in heaven? That's the question. Somebody came to me and they asked me, "Preacher, what's our identity going to be? What name will we be referred to? What are people going to call us when we get in heaven?" So I'm going to tell you what we know tonight, and then the rest you'll have to take up with the Lord, all right? And so let me just give you six things real quickly, and we'll be on our way to the house tonight. Number one, in the spiritual realm, it would seem that people still retain their personal identity in the spiritual realm. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about tonight. We're going to use our Bibles a lot. So take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. In the spiritual realm, not in the earthly realm, but in the spiritual realm, it would seem that people still retain their personal identity, their personal identity. Matthew chapter 17, of course, talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus Christ is being transfigured before the apostles here, Peter, James, and John. And look at the story, if you will. Matthew 17 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." But look at verse 3. The Bible says, "And behold, there appeared unto them this man and that man talking with them." And of course, that's not what your Bible says. The Bible says there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with them. And so here Moses and Elijah, who, by the way, have been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years. They've been dead. And yet we find here in Matthew chapter 17 that they still retain their earthly names. Moses and Elijah, they're still referred to personally. Turn over a few pages to Luke chapter 16 in your Bibles this evening. Luke chapter 16. And we won't take the time to read all the story tonight. We'll just pick up on one verse. This is the story, of course, of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. And this is the rich man responding in an eternal state. Luke 16, 24 is where I want to draw your attention tonight. Luke 16, 24, the Bible says, "And he," the rich man, "and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And so here we are in the spiritual realm, and we find here that souls are still referenced by their earthly names. Number two, after the second coming of Christ, it would seem that folks will still retain their personal identity. So again, the question being this, "Preacher, how are we going to be known in eternity? How are we going to be known?" Well, let me tell you what we know. After the second coming of Christ, people still retain their personal identity. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse number 11. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. By the way, this will get a little bit more practical here in just a moment, something that you can apply in your life. But let's just study this out just for a few moments tonight. Matthew chapter 8. Verse number 11, and this is, of course, post-second coming of Christ. Matthew 8, verse 11, "The Lord Jesus said, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down," notice this, "with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And so this is referring to the millennial reign of Christ. We preached on that many, many months ago, the millennial reign of Christ. And yet we find here that people are referenced by their earthly names. The Bible talks about Abraham. The Bible talks about Isaac. And the Bible talks about Jacob. Number three, maybe this will be a little interesting to you. Number three, in heaven, identity will be known without the use of personal names. In heaven, identity will be known without the use of personal names. And so I believe personal names are going to be used in eternity. And although in heaven, you won't have to know somebody's personal name, because the Bible says that you and I are going to have completed knowledge. Let me show that to you if I could. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and find your place to verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Interesting scripture here. We're going to have a completed knowledge. We're going to have a knowledge like the Lord when we are in eternity. But let me explain what that means. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. The Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Look at verse 12. Paul said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now notice the next line. Paul said, now I know. Now we understand that our Old Testament was translated from Hebrew and Aramaic, and our New Testament was translated from Greek, Koine Greek. And so when Paul said, now I know, it's the Greek word ginosko. And it means this, it means to understand. So Paul said, now I understand. He said, I understand in part. Look at the rest of it. But then shall I know, that's a totally different word in the Greek. That first know is the word ginosko. The second word is the word epignosko. And it means to become thoroughly acquainted with, even as also I am known. That is also the Greek word epignosko, to become thoroughly acquainted with. In other words, Paul is saying this, you know what? Now in this mind that we're in, we know. He said, but there's coming a day when we're going to be thoroughly acquainted with those that we're in eternity with. And so, listen, can you imagine going to heaven one day and being introduced to Moses? By the way, that's going to happen. You're going to be in heaven with Moses. You're going to be in heaven with the Apostle Paul. You're going to be in heaven with the guy that called down fire from heaven. You're going to be in heaven with John the Baptist. You're going to be in heaven with all these great Bible characters, David who killed Goliath, and all these great Bible characters. You're going to meet them. You're going to greet them one of these days. But here's what I'm trying to say, that when you and I get to heaven, we're going to have a completed knowledge. We're going to have a knowledge that is like the Lord. We're going to be thoroughly acquainted with. And so here's the thing. You may be introduced to Moses, but you won't have to be. Because you'll know who Moses is. You'll know who Paul is before you ever get there to him. You won't even have that. Is that Paul? Is that Paul right there? No, you'll know before you see him. That's Paul. You'll have a completed, absolutely completed knowledge. By the way, we won't go there tonight, but can I just remind you, we talked about the Mount of Transfiguration just a moment ago. You understand that Peter had never seen, Moses and Elijah. He had never seen them. And yet he knew exactly who they were. And he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And he said, let's just make three tabernacles. And he said, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And so one of these days when we get in heaven, we're going to know people even apart from their name. Somebody asked G. Campbell Morgan this question, do you think that we will know our loved ones in heaven? And in that British brogue, G. Campbell Morgan said, I do not expect to be a bigger fool in heaven than I am here. And I know my loved ones here. So if I know my loved ones here, I'm definitely going to know them over there. And so I'm not sure that personal identity will be as important in heaven as it is presently. Now, here's everything. We have some folks here tonight that are either law enforcement or have been in law enforcement. And they would tell you this, that personal identity means a lot. One of the first things you're going to ask for when you go to that window is, may I see your license and registration? One of the reasons they do that is because they want to identify who that person is. And so identity is everything. They want to know if that person's a threat. They want to know if that person has a warrant. And so personal identification is everything. But in heaven, there'll be little need for personal identification because we're going to know everybody with a completed knowledge. By the way, can I just point this out real quick and go to this next point? Think about all the babies that have been aborted. in all these years, millions of little babies, by the way, who were never named. Mom and dad never took the time to name them. They just went to an abortion clinic and aborted that baby. That baby never got named. Now, here's what I believe. I believe when that baby died, I believe that baby went to heaven. And so I don't know exactly. I don't know how to explain all that completely, but I know this. God knows them. God knows who they are. They have a personal identity that God's going to know them by. And so in heaven, identity will be known without the use of personal names. Number four, personal names. Think about this. Personal names are inscribed in heaven. Personal names are inscribed in heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 21. For all those folks who say, you know what? There's not going to be any, we won't worry about names. Names is not going to be really important. I don't believe that we'll be known by our earthly names in heaven. Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 21 and look at verse number 12. Personal names are inscribed in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 12, the Bible says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. Look at this. And names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, on the west three gates. Look at verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so evidently, names are pretty important. And so the Lord is going to inscribe those names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's going to inscribe the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb in heaven. Number five. The names of the redeemed are written in heaven. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse number 20. Luke chapter 10. The names of the redeemed are written in heaven. Now, this is just what I believe, and we can agree to disagree on this. And I'm sure the Lord's going to teach us all a few things when we get to heaven one of these days. But I happen to believe that those names that are recorded in heaven, I believe it's our personal names that's there. I believe Stephen Pope is there. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse number 20. The Bible says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because, notice this, because your, notice the word there, because your names are written in heaven. Now, somebody says, wait a minute, preacher. If that be the case, if our personal name is going to be recorded in the book of life, isn't that going to be confusing? Because a lot of people share the same kind of name. By the way, we have that problem at Calvary Baptist Church. When I say, Brother Mike, would you come pray? I have to specify which Brother Mike I'm talking about. And we have that in a number of different areas in our church. People share the same name. When I was going to high school, over at West Iredell High School, there was a friend in my same exact class in West Iredell High School whose name was Stephen Pope. And so we had two Stephen Popes in the same exact class, and so, man, when they would call, you know, when they would call and say, we need to see, you know, Stephen Pope in the office, I would say, it's definitely him, not me. Amen? And now, you know, here's the thing. Somebody says, well, you know, preacher, if it's going to be our personal name that's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, isn't that going to be confusing? I mean, you know, even today we have some confusion when people have the same first name and the same last name. And so because of that, we'll have DNA. Sometimes we'll have a DNA test. And at other times we'll have fingerprinting. And then, I'm just thinking about all these things. I'm thinking about some of you have, you know, families that have identical twins. And I mean, they are identical. And truth of the matter is, you can't tell them apart. Now, mom and dad sort of can, but you can't tell them apart. And so somebody says, preacher, if our personal names are recorded in heaven, isn't that going to be confusing in heaven? Not to the Lord. Not going to be confusing at all. Did you know that God doesn't just know your name, but God gave you your DNA? God knows exactly what you're made of. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And so God knew exactly what you were going to look like before you were ever formed in the womb. He knew what color hair you were going to have. He knew what color eyes you were going to have. He knew if your nose was going to be a little longer than somebody else's. He knew if your ears were going to stick out a little further than somebody else's. And by the way, God doesn't make any junk, and God doesn't make any mistakes. And there's so much emphasis placed upon personal appearance nowadays. And listen, I want to tell you something. Beauty is definitely in the eyes of the beholder. God made you like God made you. You had nothing to do with it, by the way, for that matter. God made you either white or black or red or yellow or whatever the case may be. You didn't have not one solitary thing to do with it. And so whatever you are, be thankful that you are that. And that God made you, God knows you. And in heaven, thank God, he's going to know you personally. In fact, did you know this? That in Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says he knows you so well that he knows the very hairs of your head.
Friend, we're so glad you've stayed with us throughout the broadcast today. If you're listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to encourage you to give your heart and life to him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, Jesus promised that he would come in. Would you realize several things? Number one, we're sinners in need of a Savior, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 6, but God loved you so much that he gave his only son. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Christ came, he took my sins upon him, he took your sins upon him. And he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he bled and suffered and died and paid the penalty for your sins and mine. They put him in the grave, but 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. He's a living, resurrected Savior, and he came to save you and I from hell. But not only that, but he came to save us to himself. And the Bible tells us this, that if you'd be willing to acknowledge him today, if you'd be willing to open your heart and life to him today, our Bible promises in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If today you'd be willing to open your heart and life to Christ and just say something like this to him, dear Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again. And so right now, please forgive me for my sinfulness. And Lord, please come into my heart and life and save my soul. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now help me to live for you the rest of my days. I hope you prayed that prayer today and meant it from your heart. If you did, please reach out to us. We want to rejoice with you. And we'd love to get some helpful information into your hands that will help you with your Christian walk. God bless you. Again, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast today. We love you in the Lord.